Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
A warmer from the low. Welcome to Lumpy Las Vegas for Coach Kazoops with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Mike Randall, who does great work over at FDN Network. We're going to be chatting with him about what we've seen the last few days in college basketball. We're going to be also talking about the importance of depth with so many of these teams. I think Kansas found out the hard way how important depth is, and they have clearly addressed that. We're also going to be diving in on Creighton, the fact that they're getting Pops Isaacs into the fold, what this means for them, and why their work should not be done, because while they've had a tremendous starting five last few years, going back to the conversation of depth, that's something that they do need to work on a little bit. They just did not get anything out of their bench last few years, so we're going to be discussing that, and we're going to be discussing some of the teams that have just had a nice offseason in general, and some teams that might be looking to do some work here in the next week or two as well. So a nice wide-ranging chat there. In the final segment, we got some nice news and notes out there in college basketball on Sunday. We'll give you a roundup of those, and if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we will fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GDN_D1. Keep in mind, Lursium, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Talking a lot about depth these last few days. I went into a nice dissertation on it yesterday, so I'm not going to rehash that, and do want you to send in those Twitter /X questions, because I really do utilize those for the first segment of a lot of these shows. If not, we keep it relatively short, just because with the length that we have to go through in terms of all the guys that are coming into the fold, I do have to do 3 segments, because when you have north of a 30-minute show to let you in behind the curtain, you have to take 2 breaks. Anything less than that, you'll notice in the summer months, I'll be doing a lot of 2-segment shows when things do cool down with the transfer portal. That's the way things work on that front. So you're going to get a lot of probably short segment number ones if you don't fire in these Twitter/X questions. But it certainly has been a very interesting offseason. We're seeing a lot of movement as of right now, and it's going to be a very critical next few weeks for some of these teams. So we're going to be certainly touching upon that and so much more with Mike Randall on the flip side here on Just Go Hoops with myself, David Stevenson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Guard like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It is great to be joined by this man as Mike Randall. He does an absolutely tremendous job over at FTN Network. Guy does a little bit of everything. He was the man on the scene doing so much work in terms of the NFL draft. He does great work when it comes to DFS, when it comes to the NBA side of things. No doubt about it. He is an ace when it comes to college basketball with his podcast, The Screen, The Screener Podcast. You're able to get that wherever you find this podcast and so much more. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X over at Randall Rant altogether. Mike, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. NFL draft finally over, so we can exhale here, talk some college hoops, have a good time. This is great.
Oh, it is absolutely excellent, but no real exhaling as of right now in college basketball because we saw pass down a few days ago. We knew that the underclassmen had to declare for the transfer portal by May 1st, but That said, now graduate transfers have to declare by May 1st as well. And how much do you think that this is going to affect the way that we take a look at these rosters and perhaps get things set in stone a little bit earlier? Because while a player doesn't need to declare what school they're going to by May 1st, they do have to enter by May 1st. And we noticed last offseason there were quite a few guys that entered late. I do think that this should honestly be able to help us betters and us handicappers out a little bit in terms of knowing what we're getting a little bit sooner.
Yeah, a little sooner so we can actually assess whether they filled voids and whether teams have found their balance that we always talk about. Hard when they're getting them last minute and we're trying to add them in and see if they just have depth. But I think we'll be able to assess that the pieces fit. For example, one that just came out, which is great, Pop Isaacs has committed to Creighton. So there's a player to come in, can be there for Trey Alexander, you know, that sort of player, good scorer, defender. So finding the fit that we think works is easier now because we're getting clarity and it gives us time to really assess how the group is going to mesh together chemistry-wise.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that it's going to be so key to look at these teams that maybe don't bring in these transfers early, because I've just noticed over the last few years, the teams that wait until the last minute to bring in some of these transfers, like we saw with Kansas State this last year, we saw with Washington this last year, Memphis, prime example of it, they seem to be teams that underachieved a little bit more. And I do think that there's going to be a little bit more of a heightened focus on this, because it does feel like teams are attacking the transfer portal a little bit earlier. We've seen more guys go to the places that they want to go here in the month of April than we did a season ago. And I do think that the teams that they wait until the last minute, they wait to bring in these guys, are going to be put even further behind the eight ball than they did the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, the number one name that comes to mind when you talk about that is Bill Self in Kansas. So last year, Self waited, didn't get Cam Spencer, instead got Nick Timberlake, and the rest is obvious. But this year, attacked very early. Zeke Mayo, tremendous from South Dakota State. AJ Storr coming over from Wisconsin. So it's critical not only to get the key pieces, but to get depth. So you want players who are willing to come to your program, regardless of whether they're promised a path to starting. And Self learned from mistakes last year. Of course, he had the horrific health issue that sort of happened at the end of the year as well. But yes, the earlier the better for the player and the college.
And I am so glad that you mentioned Kansas has joined me on the show. We do have Mike Randall, who does great work over at FTN Network. He is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I don't know if putting them at number one in terms of best off seasons is fair, but if you put them at number one, I'm going to have no qualms about it whatsoever, because it's not just bringing in the guys that you mentioned, and Rylan Griffin coming over the weekend as well. That's a very good get coming over from Alabama as well. But it's also a guy that they didn't have to go into the transfer portal and get at the very least this offseason. Getting back Hunter Dickinson for year number five, I think that that's so massive as well. Because while you take a look at the transfer portal board and you're able to be like, oh, they got in Zeke Mayo, they're able to bring in AJ Storr and everything like that, I truly think that just being able to retain Hunter Dickinson, that is the biggest piece for them as well. And being able to add the four guys that they have in the transfer portal, all the better in terms of what you were alluding to before, being able to have that depth that they didn't have a season ago.
Yeah, veterans matter. Dickinson coming back, which, by the way, obviously is a smart move. You know, Zach Edey came back this year and obviously had an amazing year. Dickinson can have the same sort of impact. What hurt Kansas last year was not having the consistency and shooting from the exterior and not having the depth. And now they have addressed that, but you need to have the big man back. Dickinson obviously getting a lot of NIL money, as he should, and that makes Kansas better, and that makes college basketball better. It's a huge step for them. Very excited, but there's still some good players out there left in the transfer portal that are looking for a home as well.
Yep, there certainly are a ton of great players remaining, as we are well north of 1,800 players that have entered in the transfer portal. As I refresh verbal commits, I'm currently seeing 1,875. So if a team has yet to be able to grab that main guy that they were looking for, well, have no fear, because there are still very many of them out there, and Creighton was able to nab one of them. We saw Trey Alexander enter into the NBA draft, I believe it was on Friday, and then they wasted no time on Saturday going with Pops Isaacs, I was over there at Texas Tech, long north of 15 points per contest, good versatility. And I just take a look at that ad for Creighton, and I feel like they did a textbook perfect job of being able to bring him in. It feels like Creighton every single year. They don't necessarily bring in a ton of transfers, but we saw with Baylor Shireman a few seasons ago. We saw it with Steve Ashworth last year as well. It feels like Creighton has really been the masters of not bringing in bulk transfers, but bringing in the right transfers. And I think that this is just exhibit A on what they've been able to do the last few seasons.
Yeah, it's very smart. Remember, you want to build with balance and you want to build with the right type of player. So Creighton had good defensive metrics last year, but really lacked the ball hawk, the pressure that you could find. Bayer Shireman, players like that, great shooters, great players, of course, but maybe not as tough defensively at guarding one-on-one when they get isolated. Now they've really stepped up with Pop Isaacs coming in, different type of guy, comes from Grant McCaslin now in the Texas Tech program. Good shooter, fits into their offense as well. So finding the right fit, not surprised with Greg McDermott that he did. I had a chance to interview him at the Big East when they had the Big East tournament. Just doing a great job and is looking for the perfect match. They do rate well defensively, but I don't think they can guard tough one-on-one players that isolate, and they really didn't have that last year. Everything they did was drive to the basket to kick out for three. Isaacs is a player that can get in the lane, finish at the rim. That's what they had. They missed that with Nembhard as well, who ended up going up to Gonzaga. That was a big loss for them as well. But successful program, now tweaking and adding some toughness on the perimeter. It's a big move.
And additionally, they should be a little bit better at generating turnovers as well. I believe that they were literally in the bottom five in the country with that regard. And not like you need this team to be like the old Stephen F. Austin teams of back in the day and generating a whole 100 million turnovers or anything like that. But that said, would like to see them be a little bit outside the bottom five. And I do think that that's going to be able to help them out as well. And additionally, with Creighton, the one question I do have with them right now is because they just always have this really good starting five, but they really haven't had the depth the last few seasons, which has had me off of them just a little bit. Is that a little bit of a concern for you as well? Or how do you take a look at this Creighton team? Because I do think that there's a lot of good top-end talent, but I would like to see them maybe add another piece or two, just so that way they have a little bit more of a bench, just because I do think that if they ever find themselves in foul trouble, that could be a big bugaboo for this team.
Agreed. And that's the major trouble with the transfer portal right now, because you heard Nick Saban and his wife talk about it before he decided to retire at Alabama. All the players come in, they host all the players and the freshmen, and all they hear from the parents is, what about playing time? So it's not a surprise to me that Creighton, having such a strong starting five usually, last year ranked 355th out of 362 Division I teams in bench minutes, only 19.4%. So Bill Self has been really successful not having a bench for several years, but that's because he had elite NBA-like talent that could play and garner those minutes, you know, as a Bookie and a Jalen Wilson, things like that. He didn't have that this year, and you saw what happened. So Creighton really, I think, hit their ceiling against a team like Tennessee, again, without Vescovi in that game as well. That is what he has to address. So I think it's critical to find players at smaller schools that want to be a part of a major program without demanding that they are a starter. That's a tough needle to thread, but I think they're able to do it. And if they can do it and get themselves some players who are two-way players on the perimeter, Creighton is a team that is destined for a Final Four and can make one.
Yep, and certainly they don't need someone coming in off the bench as going to be like a ISO Joe or anything like that from the NBA. But that said, if they could just be able to get a little bit of production, would very much be warming up on them in a Big East set. Is going to be oh so good this year, and also oh so good is being able to get on Mike Randall, who does great work over at FTN Network. He's joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, and I feel like this coach has done a really good job of being able to thread the needle, and he's just bringing in more and more talent. How about what Will Wade is doing over at McNeese? I was joking on the old Twitter/X that it feels like this is almost a minor league SEC team right now, because he brings in Brandon Murray over the weekend, who is a tremendous player over at Ole Miss. He's already got Sincere Parker coming over. Joe Charles was that top rebounder over at Louisiana. He comes in, and Brian Selbongi, I remember he was at Tulsa 2 years ago and was logging like 8 or 9 rebounds per game. He comes over from Arizona State. Just what do you make out of McNeese, a team that I think is going to present a lot of betting opportunities when it comes to non-conference play? And we saw that with them a season ago when they knocked off Michigan on the road.
Yeah, McNeese is going to be a major issue. And what I love about Will Wade is he's selling these players on, look, you come to us and we're going to have a dominant offense. We're going to shoot the three. We're going to shoot it for volume. We're going to grade on the interior, and we're going to force turnovers. Well, we knew Wade was an excellent coach. He had the whole issue with LSU, strong offer, the whole thing. But now with NIL money, Wade's got to be on sort of a mission, Greg, sort of frustrated that, look, what I was in trouble for is now legal. But he has that sort of team and that sort of style. And I think you have to, in a small school, have a style that is attractive. Last year in the Southland Conference, they're first in adjusted offense efficiency, first in adjusted defense efficiency. They don't turn the ball over, but they're number one in forcing turnovers. They shoot a ton of threes. They shoot at 39% and they make it 53%. That is going to be attractive for teams to come in and play. And he's going to say, look, we can make the next move. We can be a small school that can win consistently like a Loyola Chicago, but we're going to play a style in the Southland Conference that's going to make it very exciting. And they had it with Shahade Wells last year, and now he has it again with the players he's getting in.
Yeah, but I think that they have done an absolutely tremendous job on this front, and I really take a look at McNeese, and I am very, very impressed by what they've been able to do here in the offseason. And it has been really interesting to just take a look at a lot of these teams here in the offseason, because as we know, coaching carousel, it's pretty much done at this point. We could see a move that does wreck the apple cart a little bit. We typically do see like one or two stray moves when it comes to the month of May, but as of right now, it's looking like things have really slowed down. But what have you made out of a lot of these coaches that are in their new stomping grounds, really not bringing over a lot of their own? Now, there are some exceptions. I know that Pat Kelsey is bringing over a few guys from College of Charleston to help them out. I thought it was very good that Josh Schertz was able to get Robbie Avila along with Isaiah Swope to come with them over from Indiana State. But something I liked for a lot of these first-year head coaches from past years was when they brought over a lot of their guys from their old stomping grounds, much like you saw with Amir Abdul-Rahim going from Kennesaw State to South Florida. And maybe it's just me, but I notice a lot less of this offseason.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. The reason I think you're seeing less of it is because in that situation, you had Abdul-Rahim going from Kennesaw to South Florida. So he's sort of going to a larger school with more exposure. We don't have a ton of the coaches this year. Calipari leaving Kentucky, going to Arkansas. Great program, same conference, just not as much of a reputation. Mark Pope, for example, going from BYU to Kentucky, that's a massive leap. So I don't know if the players that Mark Pope had at BYU are going to be able to fit into Kentucky. So the reason that it happens is you need to have a unique situation where someone is coming from a program that is sort of a lower profile program and going to a higher profile program and having players that they feel can have success there. Kelsey is the prime example. What type of players is he going to need at Louisville? That's what is interesting. So a Dusty May going up to Michigan, that one has caused some controversy because I'm hearing that the admission standards may be a little troubling for him to get some of his players in. And of course, there's only a certain number of players that can actually transfer. So he ended up losing, I believe, Elijah Martin, you correct me if I'm wrong, went to Florida, I think. So that is another thing, is you have to have a unique situation. And we had it last year, small school coaches that had a lot of success moving up to a larger exposure school with players that can compete at that level. It's a very fine line. I don't think we have as many as we had last year.
Yep, I don't think so either, and it was really interesting. I did think that Dusty May was perhaps going to bring over a few guys from Florida Atlantic. We have not seen it to this point, and maybe that is still coming, but that was one that was a little bit of a surprise to me as well. So we shall see what is going to be happening on this front. And Mike, I know that there is a lot to digest here in the offseason. We've thrown out a few teams that we like, some that we're a little bit more lukewarm on, but just taking a look at what we've been able to get this offseason, is there a team or two that you take a look at that you feel like is flying under the radar that just in general has been able to do a good job, whether that's be by the transfer portal or perhaps it's not via the transfer portal and just merely maintaining the guys that they bring back? Because while we always love to be able to give exposure to these teams that they bring in, these 15-point-per-game scores and everything like that, just sometimes retaining your own is sometimes the best move in the offseason.
There's a couple. First off, look at what Ole Miss is doing, and it's going to be because of some transfers. Dre Davis comes over from Seton Hall, goes to Ole Miss. Then he adds a shooter in Sean Padula from Virginia Tech to Ole Miss. So again, building stuff that can support weaknesses that they had last year. We already talked about Creighton, and again, Kansas is another huge one. And one that I was critical of all of last year, Greg, but I think actually is figuring it out, is as much as I can get on Mike Woodson in Indiana, he is getting the idea. He still likes to bring the bigs in. There's no doubt about it, but he's gotten some help here. Miles Rice helping him on the perimeter was a nice addition as well. And then they added, of course, Omar Ballo, the big man inside. So those are the players I'm looking at. I have found also, and Jeremy Roach, of course, was another big one going from Duke to Baylor, but you have to add the right type of player. And I get worried sometimes when teams don't do that. Trey Mitchell, ever since he was at UMass, has been transferring all over the place and just doesn't seem to stick it out. Went to West Virginia, then he ended up going to Kentucky, and is always complaining about playing time. He was down in Texas. Those are the sort of players I don't want any part of. So just because a team gets them doesn't mean to me that I think they're going to be very, very good. But when you're fitting in pieces that you really need and supporting your weaknesses, and you know, a veteran guy like Jeremy Roach, he's been at Duke his entire career, he's going to another big-time program. You know he's going to be a great chemistry guy. He's going to defend. He's going to shoot the three as well. And then, yeah, like we said, Kansas filling in their spots, and even Indiana, which makes me laugh. But that's what it is. And, of course, how could I leave this one out? One of my favorites, Aiden Holloway, going from Auburn, yes, Alabama, Greg. Or, you know, he's just looking for trouble. So it makes for more excitement. But I like the coaches who are great, who are adding pieces, not just stockpiling talent and scoring.
Yeah, that entire Auburn backcourt really moved around as well. Trey Donaldson, he's now going to be heading on over to Michigan. I think that that's going to be working out very well for him. A lot of moves being made here in the offseason. And my beloved Wisconsin Badgers right now sitting on their hands waiting for Christmas to come. So you've got some teams that are doing a great job and other teams that, well, it seems like it's passing by a little bit. But a man that is oh so versatile, nothing gets past this man. That'd be you, Mike. You do such a tremendous job taking a look at this great game of college basketball, but really so many different fronts. The NBA, you were so good on the NFL draft. List goes on and on. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, join us over at FTN Fantasy, Greg. We've combined all of our sites, daily, bets, fantasy. Everything is at FTNFantasy.com. Prices have never been lower. We're celebrating as we're under one website. New website, just turned it out, doing some great stuff, especially bets. Baseball, NFL draft, we'll have NBA draft coming up, killed it last year. He's still laughing about Grady Dick, things like that, over-unders. So join us over at FTN Fantasy. Never been better. Love it.
Absolutely. And we love getting Mike aboard as he does such a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. So big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And WBX, it is that time podcast. I give you a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball for the last 24 hours.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by Mike Randall, who does absolutely amazing work over at FTN Network. I know that he is hard at work taking a look at all that we're getting in college basketball right now. preparing for what is going to be an amazing 2024-25 season. Just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball, and always great to be able to get him aboard. Big thanks to Mike for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Wisconsin! Actually, after our chat with Mike Randall, I was joking about them doing nothing in the transfer portal. They actually did something. They bring in Cameron Hunter, so they're on the board with a transfer. And for Cameron Hunter, he scored as many points as myself last year. He was injured when he was over at Central Arkansas during the 2022-23 season, though. Was very good. He was able to give the team 17 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, shot 31% from 3. I've got concerns with this for Wisconsin. I know that a lot of people are jacked up about this because they were bringing in a scorer, but I mean, this was at the Atlantic Sun level for one. Two, Central Arkansas was one of the most ghastly defenses in all of college basketball. This Wisconsin team is still going to be giving up a lot of three balls. This Wisconsin team still has a lot of holes to fill with losing Chucky Hepburn and company here in the offseason. I am still not very bullish on this Wisconsin team. They still have a lot of work to do, but that said, they got on the board with something, so yay verily there. You saw Mr. Waf M. Koulibaly. He last season was playing over at Holy Cross. He has decided that he is going to be going to Valparaiso. Just could never really find his footing. Guy with a 6'8", 220 frame that logged about 3.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per contest this past season. It looked like he was doing for a bust out, but pretty much missed the entire 2022-23 campaign. That was a little bit of an issue. And for Valparaiso, ever since they moved to the Missouri Valley Conference, it feels like they're bringing in lesser players. They just have not been competitive in general. Like, when this team was in the Ryzen League, they were making a bunch of NCAA tournaments when Butler left. They became creme de la creme. Now they are just in El Toilet Bowl when it comes to this conference, and Valparaiso has a lot of work to do. They're bringing in Isaiah Shaw along with Devin Ellis as well. With Ellis, he comes in after he had an okay season over at Maryland Eastern Shore, but right now they're just not bringing in a lot of talent in general. So, yeah, it's not necessarily been the world's greatest for our good friends, the Crusaders of Valparaiso. Actually, now the Beacons of Valparaiso. That actually explains exactly why they've gone down the tubes. They should have never changed that name, but that's a discussion for another show on another day. Jack Clark, his tour of schools continues. He goes from Clemson, and now he's going to be heading on over to VCU. This guy has been up, down, and all around the college basketball landscape. Began his career over at LaSalle, spent a year at NC State, and this past year was a solid player over at Clemson while he was there. He was dealing with injury, but that said, he was a nice defender. He didn't put up scoring numbers like he did in his first few years at the college basketball level. He had always been a 9-plus point-per-game scorer, but Clemson needed him a little bit more for defense, and he was willing to provide that. About 4.7 points, 5 boards per contest, career about 30% three-point shooter at 6'8". VCU is getting a rock-solid player that I think is going to be able to fit the system relatively well. He's able to play a little bit more up-tempo. He's able to play a little bit more low and slow as well, so I do like his overall game and this fit for VCU. Just do find it a little bit hilarious that he's on pretty much school number 4 in his last 4 years and is back out there in the Atlantic 10. Cam Mainwoo, he was playing this last season over at Wyoming, and I always get that last name wrong, by the way. He has decided that he is going to be going to Drake. As we know, for Drake, this is going to be very much a new-look team with having DeVries squared out of the fold, but I do like this pickup with Manny Yawu. Hopefully I said that correctly. 7.5 points, right around 6.5 boards per contest at 6'9". Not a guy that's going to go out there and pop threes or anything like that, but was able to generate a steal per game as well. He was a true freshman, so you have to figure that he's going to grow into his position a little bit more at Drake. If he can add a little bit more range to his game, I think that that would be very beneficial for him, but all in all, I do take a look at this move for Drake. It's a step in the right direction. They certainly have a lot more moves that they do need to be making as they lost so much of that roster from a season ago, but all in all, I do think that this one is pretty rock solid. Marcellus Avery, he was playing over at Central Florida this last year. He has decided that he is going to be playing over at Oklahoma State, and for Avery, relatively solid player. Not a guy that's going to come into Oklahoma State and completely dominate for them, but that said, for Central Florida this last year, was able to give some nice versatility at 6'8", 7.5 points, 4 boards, shot right around about 34.5%. from three-point range after beginning his career over at New Mexico State. And he took that leap from New Mexico State to Central Florida actually quite well. Was a nice sort of reserve, sixth-line, seventh man for this team. And if you have him seeing like starter minutes over at Oklahoma State, well, Oklahoma State is going to be in for a long year out there in the Big 12. And I do think that they are going to be. But that said, Mr. Lutz, who comes over after he spent some good time over at Texas A&M Corpus Christi last year, was able to get Western Kentucky online. I do think that he's getting a solid player here. And again, if you're utilizing him as more of like a sixth man, seventh man, they should be fine out there in the Big 12. If you're utilizing him as a big-time starter, well, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. You saw Day-Day Amos. He had decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal, as we've been seeing a lot of movement with Kansas State here in the last few weeks. And I mean, with Amos last year, he was able to give the team about 5.5 points per contest, 247 sports. Had him rated quite well as a little bit of a prospect coming out of high school. Most places had him as a 4-star recruit, 247 sports. I believe had him as the number 83 national recruit. A little bit more of a point guard. Didn't necessarily get to show that off with being in the shadow of the likes of Ty Perry and company, but I do think that he can go to a school, especially if he decides to go to a mid-major school, really go into a little bit more of takeover mode. He was able to log about 2 assists per contest, and he's got an okay jumper. Shot about 33% from 3-point range last season. That was above Kansas State's average, so it's going to be very interesting to see where he is going to be ending up. We know where this man is going to be ending up, as he's going from the northeast part of the country to the northeast part of the country. Ridvan Tucic, he was playing this last season over at New Hampshire. He's decided that he is going to be going to Maine, and Maine has done a nice job of being able to make some shrewd moves in the transfer portal with this Maine bunch. They have really been able to get online after a few years ago. They were one of the laughing stocks in all of college basketball, and for Tucic, he last season just was unable to get out there on the floor, deal with injury. Season before, was a nice rock solid rebounder for New Hampshire. Was able to log about 4 points, 5 rebounds per game. Not a guy that's going to be stretching the floor and popping threes, but 6'10" gentleman that comes in from Serbia, more of a traditional low post player. He should be able to fit this Maine team very, very well, as it was a Maine bunch that needed a little bit of help on the rebounding front. He should be able to provide that. This is going to be a big pickup for whoever gets it. And for Dayton, they bring in Zed Key to be able to help out with this, but you were thinking that they were going to be able to retain Nate Santos. They are not going to be able to. He was a nice 6'8", 6'9", stretch forward last season that logged 11.5 points, 6.5 boards, shot 42% from 3-point range. You got to figure that there's going to be a lot of power conference teams that are going to be in on him. Took a very nice leap forward this past season after just not giving a whole heck of a lot when he was over at Pittsburgh. Just didn't have a lot of minutes in general. Really built himself up. And now for Dayton, have to wonder if they're still going to be able to maintain that hammerlock that they've had on the Atlantic 10 over the last few seasons. As that's a big loss. Once again, bringing in Zed Key is very big, but do have to figure that there's going to be a little bit of retooling there. Derek Michael Zviero, he last season was playing over at Grand Canyon. He just hasn't been able to get out there on the floor too much. Has been limited to 14 games in 2 seasons due to just injuries, medical hardships, what have you. He has decided that he is going to be going to Long Beach State. And for Long Beach State, I do like what this program is building as of right now, as they've been very active here in the transfer portal over the last 48 to 72 hours. They're also going to be bringing in Devin Askew, who he was over at Cal this past season, and he's a former top 75 recruit. So they're getting talented players in. They're getting in talented players with some big-time injury issues, so that's something that you might want to be very, very mindful of. And for Long Beach State, that means that depth is going to be paramount for them, but bringing in these two guys over the last 48 hours for a new-look coaching staff, I think that this is very good for them. And again, if they're able to keep these guys out there on the floor and functioning, I think that that is going to be a big-time just sort of boom for them. And how about the way that High Point has been able to boom as well? And remember talking with Nick Lawrenson a few days ago. He was talking about their NIL collective being one of the best out there in mid-major college basketball, and that is certainly turning out to be the case. And boy, oh boy, are they using it. As for High Point, they've had one of the best hauls among mid-major teams in all of college basketball. They already have Chase Johnson coming in from Florida Gulf Coast, Bobby Pettiford from East Carolina. Now they've got the big man that they're looking for in Jeremy Fomena. He was playing over at Rhode Island last year, and for Rhode Island, well, things have just been rudderless off the rails and sad for them. But you bring in a 6'11" big man that, and he saw some relatively okay minutes this last year over at Rhode Island. Shot about 32% from 3-point range, so he's capable of spacing the floor, which is big for this High Point program. 5.5 points, 3.5 boards per game. High Point was little bit of a team that was not necessarily the world's greatest at being able to guard the arc, but they were very good on the glass. They're going to be losing a few pieces from last year by bringing in a 6'11" big man that was able to see good minutes over at Rhode Island. That's the best way of being able to help out with that. So I absolutely love this pickup for High Point and love what they've been able to do here all offseason long. You saw LeBron fill in. He was over a top 35 recruit, according to 247 Sports, according to On3 Sports, and things of that nature. He's decided that he is going to be going to Alabama. He was once a Kansas signee, so this is a big-time win for Alabama. They've lost a few guys like Ryan Griffin and company in the transfer portal, but they're retooling and they're getting a lot of depth, so do like to see that. Caleb Sohn-Carwell, he last season was over at Utah Valley. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Loyola Marymount. And for Loyola Marymount, no shortage of guys are coming over here this offseason, as well as the Mount. They have been very, very active. They were active in the transfer portal last offseason as well. It just didn't necessarily work out for them. They were dealing with a few injuries, and Kelly Leu Pepe not necessarily being what they were expecting. That was not too tremendous, to say the least. But for Loyola Marymount, now they've got Caleb Sohn-Carwell, an 11-point-per-game scorer over at Utah Valley. He's one of their top guys coming into the fold. Jevin Porter coming in after he was a double-figure scorer at Pepperdine is big. You had a pair of power conference guys in Matur Diop, the big man from Nebraska, along with Gian Vide, who comes over after he was a top 200 guy over at UCLA, and then Myron Amy, the top guy over at San Jose State. This has been a really nice haul for them, so impressed by them. Certainly, they're still going to have their issues getting by the likes of Gonzaga and company out there in the WCC, but that said, strides in the right direction are certainly being taken. Aiden Noyce, he was playing over at Richmond this last season, just wasn't really able to get out there on the floor in general. Richmond was running a very thin rotation. He has decided that he is going to be transferring elsewhere, and he has decided that his landing spot is going to be Belmont. For Belmont, they are suffering a big loss. As Kate Tyson, he's decided that he is going to be going to North Carolina, so they need to fill that spot. And he's not going to be quite Kate Tyson, even though he's got the same size as him, right around about 6'7", and a similar skill set. In 2 years at Richmond, did shoot about 40.5% from three-point. Once again, very small amount of minutes played. He saw 7 starts this last season, but was only averaging about 10 minutes per contest. But he goes over to Belmont, which I do think that they're going to be able to mold him into a little bit more of a go-to guy after they did lose, as I was mentioning, Kate Tyson, who goes to North Carolina after he this last season. As a 6'7", little bit of a combo player, was a nice offensive weapon. Didn't quite duplicate the 40% three-point shooting that he had as a freshman, but this past year, 17 points, 6 boards. Now, if North Carolina is utilizing him as a starter and go-to guy, North Carolina is not going to be looking as dominant as they were a season ago. And as we know, they lose Armando Bacot after he played about 500 million years of college basketball and quite a few others. But that said, that's going to be a relatively nice pickup for them. At Belmont, they're trying to pick up the pieces from that. Keenan Fitzmaurice, he's just another one of these shrewd moves from Northwestern, as they're going to bring him in via the transfer portal. They've done this with quite a few guys. With Northwestern, like every single year, they find this like one mid-major guy that logged like 6 points per contest. He was a part of a defense-oriented team, and they have him come in and they have him play a little bit of a role. We saw that with Blake Preston last year, who came over from Liberty, and he's this year's Blake Preston. As Fitzmaurice, he's got 7'1" size and is able to pop threes. He began his career over at Stanford. Well, he just didn't get a lot of time over at Stanford, but went on over to Stony Brook this last season. Was able to log 11 points, 4.5 boards, shot 33% from three. Not like he was attempting a ton of threes, but was able to give you a block per contest. Just a guy that he doesn't necessarily do one thing great, but he does do a little bit of everything, and I do think that he's going to be able to be a solid add for them. I don't foresee him being a starter, but coming on off the bench, that is going to be solid for them. And Jaden Jones, this is going to be solid for Oklahoma as well. He, this last season, was over at Long Beach State. He was able to log 12 points on nearly 38% three-point shooting. Now, with losing the likes of Ortega away and company, Oklahoma, they really needed to add some guys. And for Oklahoma, after things just fell apart for them in the second half of the season, you do have to wonder how this team's psyche is going to be coming into the 2024-25 campaign. But they clearly just need to bring in some bodies. Right now, he and Kobe Elvis are going to be able to help out that backcourt. They're going to need to get some guys down low. They do lose quite a few of their talented guys like John Hughley and company from a season ago, but at the very least, they do have a little bit of backcourt to work with, and we saw them with mid-major guys like a JV on McCollum have quite a bit of success this past season. Speaking of success, how about what St. Louis has been able to do? Josh Schertz now brings in Kalu Aina. He this last season was playing over at Brown. Not a guy that's going to go out there and just absolutely tear it up on the offensive side of things, but they needed some rebounding and they got some. He's able to pop threes at 6'8", but only shot about 26% this past season. 9.5 points, 7.5 boards. It's clear that Josh Schertz looked at what he had at Indiana State and thought it was good, but I think that this was a little bit more of a defensive add for him. Just a guy that's able to hit the boards, is able to be relatively good on that front. I do think that this is a very, very good move and a step in the right direction for Josh Schertz, so absolutely love that. And I do like this move as well. Jalen Blackman, he is going to be staying out there in the state of Florida. While he was over at Stetson this last season, he was a top 10 scorer in all of college basketball, 21.3 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be going to Miami, and for Miami, they're going to need to have a little bit more depth than they did a season ago. That was big for them when they had the injuries that they racked up. I know that Nigel Pack being out of the fold, that really hurt them. It was just complete and utter dooms. And for Blackman, I don't think that he's going to be logging 21-plus points per contest like he did over at Stetson, but just a guy that's able to knock down threes. Shot 38% from three-point range this past season on north of 8 threes per contest. Would like a little bit more facilitation out of him. He logged fewer than 2 assists per contest. A little bit of a black hole guy, but when you're on Stetson, a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for a lot of his teammates. Should be able to go into Miami and should be able to give the team some offense. Question is, what is he going to have around him as Miami? In my opinion, I don't think that they're done in the transfer portal. Cal is clearly not done in the transfer portal as Raitis Petraitis. Hopefully I said that correctly. He's going to be coming over from Air Force, and for Petraitis, he was a statue sufferer over at Air Force this last season. Going to need to work on the defense, but 15.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3.7 assists per contest. Those out here in lovely Las Vegas know him very well from that 32-point beatdown that Air Force put on UNLV. And in that game against UNLV, I believe he had a triple-double of like 18 points, 13 boards, 11 assists. This guy is able to go out there. He's able to do a lot of things well, except for be a part of a functional defense or shoot free throws. He shot 68% at the free throw line. But for Cal, this team has just brought in a whole bunch of good guys in general. I feel like Mark Madsen is now getting the roster that he truly wants. He was able to bring in a few guys last season and Jalen Tyson along with Fardos Amick, but now being able to bring in quite a few of these guys, having a nice mix of someone like a Lee Dort, who is a former top 200 recruit, BJ Omot, top scorer over at North Dakota, Joshua Ala Joseph, who's going to be coming over from Minnesota with some good versatility. I really think that he's got just a nice bevy of options in general, and love to be able to see that. And how about SMU? We've been talking a lot about them having quite a nice NIL fund and just a nice collective in general. They poach Wake Forest main point guard and Kevin Boopie Miller, 15.5 points, 3.5 assists per contest last year, shot in the high 30s from three-point range. Andy Enfield finally has a big-time point guard that he's able to rely upon as last season over at USC. You thought that Isaiah Collier along with Boogie Ellis were going to be a good collective. Well, both of those guys were hit by injuries last season. Bringing in Kevin Boopie Miller, this is absolutely massive for SMU. And you were wondering, was SMU going to be able to bring in that splash guy via the transfer portal as they make this move to the ACC? Because if not, they were probably going to be not keeping up with the Joneses in that conference. Now they've got the big-time, big-flight guy to be able to do so in SMU. Very much now certainly looking a little bit more formidable than they did about 48 or so hours ago. They're also bringing in Kerry Oquendo, a nice go-to scorer for Oregon, who was able to pop some threes last season. A.J. George from Long Beach State as well. Would probably like to see him bring in a few more guys as well, but now that you get Kevin Boopie Miller on the board, that is a big one for SMU. You also saw Austin Carr, who was playing this last season over at Wake Forest. He has decided that he's going to be going elsewhere. He's going to be playing for Kentucky. For Austin Carr, the rise of this guy has been absolutely wild. He was like the third or fourth best player for Delaware a few seasons ago. He was like a nice 6'10 guy that you could tell had a little bit of upside, but that said, with Mr. Carr, I never thought that we'd be seeing him transferring on over to Kentucky after last season over at Wake Forest. 13.5 points, right around 7 boards, shot 37% from 3-point range. It is very clear that even though Wake Forest hasn't necessarily been able to make the NCAA tournament over Steve Forbes, he's really had a nice eye for talent. He's been able to get the most out of the guys that he's brought in via the portal, and he knows good fits when he sees them. This is another one of them. You saw Philip Brosavik. Kanan? I have no idea how to say that last name. Phillip, we're going to go with that. He was playing over at Arizona this past season, only saw 20 games as a reserve 6'9" guy, but he's decided that he's going to be going on over to New Mexico, and this is a guy with a lot of upside. He's one of the better, more international prospects as he came over from Serbia. I know that Jeff Borzell was talking about Boise State, Kansas State, both wanting to be in on him, and this is a solid gift for New Mexico. They lose Jamal Mashburn Jr. from this past season. They lose a lot of that backcourt that they did have, but that's it for this New Mexico team. I have to feel like they're going to be trying to turn over a little bit of a new leaf. They were able to make the NCAA tournament this year with having guys like Anelli Jr., Joseph, doing a much better job on defense. And I do think that with their good friend in Phillip, that they're going to be able to continue to have some relatively solid defense. This bunch is already going to have John Tone J and CJ Nolan join the fold as well. So you've got some relatively nice balance with what New Mexico has been able to do here in the offseason. You've got Kyron Boom Boom Powell. He was playing over at Southern Indiana this last year, logged about 5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, and actually began his career over at Houston. He stays in the OVC. He's going to Western Illinois, a Western Illinois unit that was one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball last year. They really lagged offensively, and with Mr. Powell, he's someone that is going to need to work on his overall offensive game. But that said, I take a look at him being able to do a relatively solid job down low with this Western Illinois team losing some of that depth that they had in the post from a season ago. This is going to be very good for them. And Deuce Turner down for what? He began his career over at Bucknell and really became a nice scorer at San Diego this last year. 15.5 points on 37.5% three-point shooting. Defense not necessarily there with him, but that said, he's going to be able to provide some offensive spark as he has decided that he is going to be going on over to UC Santa Barbara. And for UC Santa Barbara, if they can get back to a little bit more defense, if they're able to utilize Deuce Turner in the right way, this is going to be a rock-solid get for them for UC Santa Barbara. I mean, the scoring was honestly there for them, and they defended really well on the road, and they didn't play any defense at home. It was one of the biggest disappointments in all of college basketball. Santa Barbara has been a little bit muted here in the transfer portal here in this offseason, but this is a relatively solid gift for them going on over from the WCC. He should be able to make a nice impact right away. And Jameer Brakus, he's going to be looking to make a little bit of an impact over at Villanova. He was playing this last year over at LaSalle, and I do think that this is a relatively solid get. He's used to just playing in the city of Philadelphia in general, but for Brakus, this last season, he was able to be a nice double-figure scorer for LaSalle. He was able to send in there about 14 points, 5 assists per contest while shooting 40% from three-point. Do have to question how his game is going to be translating from the Atlantic 10 over on over to the Big East, though, and it does feel like this is a Villanova roster that, in general, just is not what you'd expect from Villanova. Losing Mr. Brandon Housen is a little bit rough for them, as well as he's probably going to be taking a little bit more of that role. But as of right now, what they brought in the transfer portal is Brakus along with Tyler Perkins, who was solid as a freshman at Penn. I just don't know how many minutes he's going to be able to get out there in the Big East as well. So we do have a lot of question marks that do need to be answered on that front. And man, it looks like for Villanova, it might be a little bit rough for them moving forward, but hopefully things are going to be tremendous for us moving forward in terms of trying to make some money in college basketball. I'm getting guys set, taking a look at all these moves that we're seeing in the offseason and trying to make this the most successful college basketball season humanly possible. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coach Kids Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, think of an idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we have fired those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. A big thanks to Mike Randall of FDN Network for joining me in last segment. Coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and postseason, and that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.